Welcome to the Kawartha Small Business Podcast, where we believe the Kawarthas can be the most thriving region in Canada for small business. I'm Brian Rump from Profit Coach.
And I'm Matt Garrity from Mandy G Digital. Today we're talking about, should Jake Gyllenhaal return Taylor Swift's scarf?
Oh, I think that is a timely thing to talk about, but also a timeless thing to talk about. So it doesn't matter when you are listening to this, you will be pondering that question.
I'm so happy I threw that curveball at you. I like obviously heard all the chatter all week, and I listened to that 10-minute version of her song on the drive home from the gym today. And I was like, this is gonna be so boring. This is gonna be like extra instrumental, right? This is gonna be a bunch of just music and no more. She just sang the whole time. It was a whole story.
Oh, yeah.
It was amazing.
It's awesome. I've listened to it several times. The Saturday Night Live, the whole episode this week was amazing. And that performance was really well done. I was like, every now and then you're like, man, there are some professionals who do really good work. And, you know, just the whole thing front to back was awesome.
Yeah, no, it was awesome. And I know that you appreciate Taylor Swift. So I was like, I play this all morning.
Yeah, there's, you know, there was a, you know, not to get too sidetracked before we get into it, but I saw some new app spent all their marketing money on like this giant mural that was like, call it what it was, Jake. Anyway, just timely, lots of impressions. But they're like not launched yet. So it's like you check it out and it's like, oh, check back later, which I think is maybe not super great, but they do what they're going to do.
Yeah, for sure.
So our real topic today and our segue is we're talking about what's at stake. So what's at stake for Jake Gyllenhaal if he doesn't give back the scarf?
I don't know. I don't think anything's at stake for Jake Gyllenhaal at this point. He's got a pretty solid A-list career going Hollywood-wise. He's in good dramas. He's now within the Marvel Cinematic Universe in a superhero movie. The guy's set for life. Is he going to take like a little maybe step back? Like, character wise, maybe if you listen to the song, yeah, it's not ideal. It's really not that good. It paints him in a like a bad picture, maybe in a John Mayer sense, but I don't know.
Yeah, it's funny. I mean, I think there's probably nothing at stake. His life's fine. He's probably made a lot of money. Just the impressions and the marketing and everyone talking about him, you know, people like me and my wife were like, who's Jake Gyllenhaal again? And like looking that person up, you know, checking out the things he's maybe in. So I think that's probably good promo all around. I think if he does give back the scarf, you know, there's probably a little bit of a PR type of thing maybe. You know, it riles up the fans. It becomes a thing to think about. It's kind of interesting and kind of fun, too, because it is like it's a scarf. It has people talking about the song. You know, any pop song, you know, is about relationships. It's just really neat to talk about. I think everyone wins in some way with this type of thing.
Oh, for sure. Especially us who now have burned close to 5 minutes on this joke. That's
I know, talking about Taylor Swift, talking about drama. So we know that, you know, we love stories. People love stories. And, you know, I'm obsessed with the story brand type talking. And this is, you know, for small businesses, an element of that framework. And you know, we've talked before about being the guide. You know, this episode is about talking about the stakes. So what's at stake if people do business with you? How you communicate that with your marketing? So, you know, Taylor Swift does a great job of that marketing, of defining the drama, naming it, defining, you know, what's at stake sometimes. And our stakes are typically winning or losing. And people are looking to survive and thrive. So they're looking to not lose. They want to win. So when you have a business, it should be designed around helping people do that, survive or thrive. And the action to, you know, do business with you today has everything to do with the stakes of what's at stake.
Yeah, when you brought this up, I immediately thought about like what's at stake for me as a business owner, starting a business. And then, of course, you start to think of all the negative things. But I like the spin that you're putting on this with StoryBrand and actually incorporating the conversation whether it's literally out front or not. We're always kind of talking about StoryBrand, I'm pretty sure. And the transition when we talk about our own businesses in marketing of keeping us as the guides and the customer as the hero. So talking about the stakes is extremely interesting. And it's probably the thing that's missed the most, maybe in marketing. What do you think?
Yeah, I think the most is a hard one because I think, you know, the biggest one we see and we've talked about before is people positioning themselves as the hero versus the guide.
Yeah.
I think that's number one. The second one is maybe not defining what those stakes are. I think there's also sometimes the problem. People aren't talking about the problems they solve or they're not aware of naming that problem. So just like, you know, we're telling Jake to, you know, name it, call it what it was. We have to name the problem and call it what it is. Man, this is sounds like we planned this because it fits so well. but, you know, Taylor Swift is so good at songwriting because she names the emotions and makes you think and feel those. So in marketing, we need to do that with problems and what's at stake for not, you know, following the guide's plan. So as a business, you want to be that guide and you have a plan to make life better and you want people to take that path to success versus failure. So you have to paint what success and failure looks like to your customers in your marketing, but also just in your business in general.
Yeah. So like there's always hero talk. And I think that a lot of businesses talk about the problem a lot. I don't think that they define it very well, like you said. But I think the biggest gap though is the stakes part. That's the part that's always completely missed in my mind when I listen to commercials or see commercials or I see posts and all these things online. People will address a problem, talk about how they are the hero that can save the day, but they never actually explain what's at stake.
Yeah, and I think that's a big gap. So yeah, think about your business and how you paint that picture. And know that people will move towards success. There's people who are goal-oriented. They want to achieve that success. But there's just as many people who want to move away from failure. So you need to do both because people communicate different. Some people are always like chasing goals and that's how they're wired. And then other people are always, you know, running away from failure or trying to get away from that. And then there's some people who sort of respond to both or, you know, maybe a little bit equal. And we have a tendency sometimes to talk about success in a vague way. And there's definitely a need to be more specific about naming what that is, what it looks like. And we have a tendency to not talk about failure.
Right.
And that you're missing half your audience if you don't talk about failure, because people are trying to move away from failure.
I think recognizing that is very important. That's something that I recognized this year, was that people, and this is maybe it can be industry based in a lot of cases, but I found like marketing wise, people are never reaching out to other marketers or marketing agency, because rarely is it actually about getting success to them. I find that usually they're reaching out and having that conversation with me because they're trying to avoid failure. Either failing right now, or they're on the cusp and they're really intelligent business owners and they know like this is going sideways. And it's not actually a fun, friendly conversation. Like me and you had the conversation yesterday about someone that we're about to talk to, and they just got burned for five figures of marketing dollars over the course of a year. It was a lot, a big five figures.
Yeah.
And they had literally nothing to show for it. And you gave me the heads up. You're like, they're really jaded. Not that we need to be careful, but just like as a heads up. And I remember telling, I told you yesterday, I was like, not that I don't care, but I was like, that's fine. Every single person that I talk to on a call is jaded the first time they talk to me. So I think, and maybe if we think about it, maybe it is industry. Or I guess maybe there is probably both ways. Like you could, in every case, talk about the stakes being, here's the successful stakes, here's the failure stakes. And I could do that for marketing. I'm thinking about HVAC company that I work with. Like it could be, here's the success. You could frame it one way. Usually people are trying to avoid failure if like they're reaching out to an HVAC company. Accounting would probably be similar. I think you probably could frame it in both ways, success or failure. Maybe it is an industry.
Oh, I think it's definitely both. I have a whole list in sort of our brand message playbook of, you know, successes and failures and, you know, trying to sort of strategically keep that messaging balanced. Because sometimes you are trying to achieve, you know, your goals. You want to grow your wealth. You know, other times you're trying to keep your doors open.
Yeah.
You know, as a business in terms of that industry. You know, if we think about, you know, restaurants as well, you know, you want to achieve that awesome night out experience, delicious tasting food. Failure is, you know, a boring night at home. It could be a restaurant with mediocre food. Like, you know, if you're going to go out, like, why bother going somewhere that, you know, just has the same old boring frozen food from somewhere? So you get away from that failure, or, you know, the boring night out or the bad first date. Not that I'm at all in the dating realm and know anything about that, but if I were, you know, I would not want to go somewhere that was terrible.
Jake Gyllenhaal feels the same.
Yeah, definitely. Right. So, you know, you want to avoid that. You know, don't be a jerk because you're going to get this song written about you. Like, that's what's at stake here.
There are the stakes in businesses' cases are reviews and bad reviews that are probably more damaging than a Taylor Swift song. Honestly, it's certainly more damaging than a Taylor Swift song because Jake Gyllenhaal is going to be fine. John Mayer is going to be okay. Kanye West, they're all filthy rich people. They're doing well. A small business like ourselves can get a bad review, a couple bad reviews online. You can't get rid of them. They're nearly impossible to get rid of. We can talk a different time about that, but that could be damaging. It can plant a seed of doubt in someone's mind when they search for something online, on Google, on social media, and they see you compared to someone else, and there's that bad review, and they're like, maybe I won't reach out. Maybe I can read between the lines and see what's really going on here, but it can be damaging. That, like, a bad review is what's at stake in some cases.
Yeah, that's for the businesses. I think as well, painting that picture for your customer as well is important. So what's at stake for them doing business for you or not doing business with you? And that's the thing people have to think about. Or what's the other interesting element of this is what's at stake right now. So a lot of businesses might sell something like peace of mind or long-term success, but that doesn't make people buy it now. And that's a tougher thing to do. Sometimes when you have that long term, it's easy in the short term. If you're a plumber and there's a water leak, what's at stake right now is like, I need to fix this leak, or there's sewage coming through my ceiling right now. So the stakes are pretty clear and easy. But if it's, hey, maybe you want to repair this thing before it breaks, a lot of people might procrastinate that. So you might need to put that failure right in front of someone very clearly so that they take action now versus waiting until later.
And it's usually the problem, and you're almost certainly going to disagree. I find the problem more often than not is similar with every customer that you talk to within your business. It's the stakes that change between every single
Interesting.
person that you talk to. Like you can make a pretty overlying problem for marketing, for a business that needs marketing, and it can be pretty static across the board. But then I find everyone that I talk to, because I've hacked this together in my pitches, the stakes are always somewhat unique. There's like a few, there's a few that I always go back to be honest with you, just to throw them out there from a marketing perspective. People are talking about they don't have any time to do it. So I say the stakes are like your professional life is going to suffer, your personal life is going to suffer. I'm pretty aggressive with kind of hammering people over the head with the stakes because they need to hear it.
Yeah, and you should be.
And I talk about like you're going to have to wear another hat within your business, in this case, marketing. You can always, I find almost every person is unique. The problem always, you almost always seems to be the same. It's the stakes that I find extremely unique to every different person.
Yeah, it's interesting from your perspective, and I wonder how that's, different for other business owners, because there is a set of problems that people would solve. It's probably very similar. Yeah, the stakes and, playing around with that, naming different stakes for people, it's going to resonate with different people because they care about different things. So, I like looking at restaurants a bit because, we all go to restaurants. We don't ever go for the food, really, or to the base need of food. It's about, sometimes it's about feeling fancy. Sometimes it's about trying unique things. Sometimes it's about maybe I am just hungry and I don't want to eat anything too fancy. I just want something that's, decent. Like we're doing those different things, and the stakes are always, they could be that avoiding failure, sitting at home and eating popcorn, or they could be about achieving that success of like a really fun time with your family and friends. And you choose different places based on, what you're in the mood for that day. So as a restaurant, you need to know the scope of what those stakes are and get in front of people and remind them of that so you could capture them for different things within what you compete on.
Yeah, this is really interesting because I think the problem with any restaurant is people need somewhere to go and gather and eat or go and eat, right? That's the problem across the board. It is the stakes that are different because every situation is going to be different. Maybe it's partners that are going out, maybe it's a family that's going out, maybe it's bros that are going out, maybe it's a business that's going out. Those stakes are all different. The problem is the exact same in every one of those cases. It's the stakes every single time that change. Every person, every situation is completely unique. For every product or service that you sell, it's the stakes and why they need this that is different.
And sometimes for a steakhouse, it's literally about the steaks. And those steaks are different, right? Like when you think of the variety, I saw something the other day about, someone was asking a chef, like, where's the best burger in Toronto? And their response was, well, it depends what kind of burger you're feeling like that day.
Sure.
Because, and I'm the same. Sometimes you want like
Yeah.
that epic, flavorful, lots of stuff going on, melts together burger. Other times you want that like simple and awesome and sort of classic and well done, type of burger.
Yeah.
Sometimes you want a big burger, sometimes you want a slider or a small burger. Like it's different every time.
No one wants sliders, but I agree with you. I was thinking more
I
pizza.
love sliders.
No one likes
Pizza's the
sliders.
same, right? Like
Yeah.
there's the classic Tommy Boy scene. I don't know if I want New York or Chicago style. Like that's a big decision, right? So Tommy Boy needs a guide with a plan who can remind him of the stakes of that decision and lead him to, what success is
Yeah.
that day.
And not to get off track again, deep dish pizza sucks. It's not good. I don't want to even talk about that. But even locally here. So we go like in a, we have pizza like every week. That's
Now you have Pizza Fridays, pizza in a movie in the
yeah.
basement.
Sometimes we like to make it ourselves. Sometimes I like jacked up pizza in Lindsay. Sometimes I like Tony's. They're very different types of pizza. And they're both excellent. It doesn't mean one is better than the other. They're both really good, and it depends on what you want in any situation. And sometimes I will go, I won't even name it, but like a big chain restaurant that's really good, and I really like it, and it's super doughy, and it's delicious, and I just want to carve out. Some days I'll go to the pizza place that I grew up like around the corner from, down in Whitby, where I'm like, there's like the nostalgia, and everyone hates it, but I'm like, you know what? I grew up eating this, and it tastes good to me.
Oh yeah, it's really neat. And like this reminds me just on this topic, but I saw a really neat like TikTok page of somebody who did like pizza reviews from different parts of the country. And like Saskatchewan pizza, I didn't realize it's like a deli sandwich, basically. And it's like a bunch of deli meat under cheese. And then you go to Nova Scotia and it's different as well.
Yeah.
So there's like regional differences. And again, they all are different things. So if I'm a pizza in pizza marketing, right, I might want to lead people with the stakes of what I have. So hey, you want to carve out and have like comfort food
Yeah.
pizza? You need this because it's, doughy and fluffy and awesome. Other times it's like you want that thin pizza, penne vino, high quality ingredients. It's going to be thinner. There's less stuff, but really good. So like, simple and awesome. That's different than,
Yeah.
Pie-Eyed Monk, which has some great flavors as well, but I
That
don't.
their wood fire pizza, so good. Have you
Yeah,
had that, right? A couple like a
I
month
did. Yeah, it
ago?
was,
Yeah.
it's been re really good. And again, wood fire, you get the proper char on it. It's a different technique. Like, there's a lot of nuances in a product like that, and you don't want all of those all every time, but you need that in front of you, like. To know what those stakes are. Like, are you going to be thriving the way you want to thrive right now? Like, do you want to carb out in the basement? Do you want a slice on the run? Because sometimes there's nothing better than like a nice thin sort of slice of pizza. You do the old like fold and eat it. You don't feel really full.
Oh yeah. Yeah, like I've had pizza at home on Friday night, and then I've gone out to like Pie Monk on Saturday night, and every time I'm like, I'm gonna get something other than pizza, but it's so good. And I get there, I'm like, I'm gonna eat pizza again 2 nights in a row, but it's a completely different experience, and it's completely different flavor and everything. So how did we get talking about this?
Well, I think it's a good we're talking about the
What are
steaks
we talking about?
and pizza. Everything's about marketing, everything's about pizza. Again, I think we're looking at the nuances, and for your business, like it's not about beating the other pizza place, it's about standing on what your stakes are and communicating those to customers. and getting in front of more people, right? You know, pizza is a good example. There's going to be probably at least hundreds of people in this area who are having pizza tonight for supper, but they're going to go to different places. And they're all people who go to different places at different times. So, you know, if you're marketing for that, you want to, you know, be out there and in front of people. So the ones who are like, oh yeah, that's what I want tonight, this one, are going to catch that and do business with you, versus sitting around trying to guess, right? Oh, what kind of pizza do we want? And then like, oh, I forgot about this place.
Yeah.
Like, you want to be in front of them, communicating about that, knowing what you're standing on, and illustrating and painting that picture of success.
Yeah. And like, we talk about competition, or I don't particularly get all hot and bothered by it. And I don't understand why more people wouldn't be embracing the other people that work within their industry and kind of work together and be like, we can be the pizza capital of Canada. We can be the most thriving region for pizza in Canada.
It's like there's
an opportunity.
Pizza
like
a corner in Halifax.
Yeah. And like, we all help each other out, and you're creating a market for it. You're bringing awareness to it all. I was talking to friend of the show, Abe, from Docs, the cannabis retailer that we spoke to like a year ago on 420 2021 last week. Throw out another name for at Country Kitchen. We had lunch, amazing lunch. I was talking to Abe, and the conversation came up about, you hear this all the time now, that every time a new like cannabis retailer opens up, it's, well, aren't these people gonna like just cannibalize each other? And I honestly like changed my perspective on it in the last couple of weeks. And I'm like, maybe we're just learning about the size of the market and like the people that are consuming or utilizing cannabis. And it's not, maybe it's not any different than a coffee shop where there's seven plus of those in Lindsay. Maybe it's the same. Maybe we're looking at it differently. And he actually said that within their research and work, every store can service 10,000 customers. So Lindsay actually has only one too many, technically, by our numbers. Otherwise, it's actually at a perfect amount of stores that we have in town. I think we're going on seven. And people are like, that's an outrageous amount. It's too many. And according to their research, it's actually like dead on.
Wow. That's fascinating.
Yeah,
again, going on a bit of a tangent on like competition, like it's true. And I think, you know, it's a good reminder. I always say you want to build your own business.
Yeah.
Stand on your own value, not worry about what other people are doing, have your own strategy, stick to it, you know, understand what's at stake for the people you want to work with, and the people who you can help the most, you know, paint that picture to them. You know, you are the guide, you give them a plan to accept it or reject that plan, or, you know, that action. So you can lead them to success. They can experience more failure. The more you name that, especially the failure, if they don't listen to you and then they find that failure, then maybe next time they're like, yeah, you know what? I'll do what you say and lead towards success. But you know, there's lots of people out there, lots of customers. Worry about the ones that you know, can serve and do great for, and tell more people about it and invite more people sort of into that story where they can experience that success.
Absolutely.
All righty. Any final thoughts?
No, I derailed too much of this conversation today, but I want to say, I think that was our best podcast ever. Like, seriously.
I know. Anytime we spend 5 minutes on Taylor Swift, I am happy. Real men rock the Swift, as I often say. And on that note, if you want to work with us, you know, check us out at kawarthasmallbusinesspodcast.ca. If you want to like get together and have coffee and talk about Taylor Swift for several hours, we are also both into that as well. You could email us and set it up at set it up at coworthasmallbusinesspodcast.ca.